Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. We just heard a bit from the team behind a fictional film about an enclave of real-life black cowboys. It's called Concrete Cowboy. Now let's learn a bit more about the history of black cowboys and hear about the founding of one of the most famous groups, the Compton Cowboys. The Compton Cowboys are comprised of men and women, many previously gang-affiliated, who have found comfort, healing, and empowerment through their relationship with horses. You may remember them and other black horseback riders as part of the racial justice protest movements we saw across the country this past year. Now the cowboys are seeking to pass the empowerment they found with horses onto future generations of black kids growing up in Compton. Back in June, we spoke with New York Times reporter Walter Thompson Hernandez, who grew up in Compton, California, and spent a year following the group for his book, The Compton Cowboys, The New Generation of Cowboys in America's Urban Heartland. The history of black cowboys isn't something most kids learn in class, so I began my conversation with Walter by asking, how has this history been eliminated?
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's a narrative that I think so many of us didn't grow up with. You know, like, I really think about, like, me as a child in elementary school and middle school and high school, and there was never a class about black cowboys, about the really sort of important history that black men and women had on the Western frontier, you know, and I think it's a story that is really the victim of a sort of cultural and historical erasure. You know, 1 in 4 of every cowboys following the Civil War was in fact black. And it's a story that I think a lot of us really don't grow up knowing.
And what role did black cowboys play in the West during the 1800s?
Yeah, so, you know, black men and women sort of headed west, you know, to find more economic opportunities. You know, they headed west to find jobs, and they headed west to essentially get free. And so, there were these like huge and massive cattle drives. And so, black men and women worked on ranches, and they worked as cowboys, and they also sort of appeared in rodeos. And, you know, folks like Nate Ware, for example, and Bill Pickett sort of became these like very daring and adventurous, black cowboys whose stories were known, but there were, you know, hundreds and thousands of others who weren't known.
Let's talk about the Compton Cowboys. When did you first become aware of the Compton Cowboys? When was the first time you saw a Compton Cowboy?
Yeah, so the first time I saw a Compton Cowboy was when I was about 6 years old. I remember it so clearly. You know, like, I was driving with my mom. We were heading towards the Compton swap meet, and I sort of looked to my right, and there are these like two really beautiful horses and these two incredible men on these horses, you know, and they were black folks. And to me, you know, it sort of felt like such a watershed moment, because it was a moment, I think, at that age where I realized that, you know, there's a sort of, you know, educational component that I was learning about in schools, and there was, you know, a very real history just down the street, right? And I think it was a really sort of profound moment, because I realized that, you know, I felt like I had been lied to. And I think the hardest thing about that was that, like, I knew I wasn't alone. You know, like, there were hundreds of other kids in my school who were also being lied to and deprived of this history that really existed, you know, down the street.
So I think it's sort of interesting. There's this intersection in your book. Your book is about the Compton Cowboys, but you also have a little bit in the author's afternote about your role as a reporter of color, reporting on stories like this, and that how when you first arrived to do the interview, they were surprised to see you. You're black and Mexican. You say you're Blaxican.
Right.
What was that initial encounter like?
No, you know, it's. I laugh because it's kind of funny, you know, and it's something I think, like, when I was writing for the New York Times, I think a lot of people have this idea of what a New York Times writer is supposed to look like, you know, maybe like an older age, middle-aged white guy from like Connecticut who like commutes to the city every single day, you know, and that is not how I look like. You know, I'm a young person of color, you know, I have a fresh fade haircut all the time. Like, I wear Nikes, I wear Nike or Jordans, you know, like, yeah. I don't really fit the mold. And so what I do what I had to do is carry these New York Times business cards with me, you know, to kind of prove to people that I'm actually a New York Times writer. And that's exactly what happened at the Compton Cowboys' ranch. You know, like I showed up to the door and I knocked on the door and they were like, who are you and what do you want? You know, and I'm like, guys, like, it's me, Walter. You know, I'm here to write a story about you for the New York Times. And I really had to sort of like, you know, it was like a sort of check-in process, you know, and I had to show them my business card. They finally, you know, acknowledged that I was a New York Times writer. But I think, you know, that's one of the most important things about this story is that I think historically, you know, you've had white people who have, you know, sort of like parachuted into communities of color to extract information and really precious knowledge, right? And I think for me, I'm someone who is both a participant and an observer in the story. You know, I'm part of the community and I'm also there to document as well.
My guest is Walter Thompson Hernandez. The name of his book is The Compton Cowboys, The New Generation of Cowboys in America's Urban Heartland. So the motto of the Compton Cowboys is, streets raised us, horses saved us. How does that motto encompass the mission and the impact of the Compton Cowboys?
Right. So I think, you know, the Compton Cowboys have so many goals and are really driven by this mission of both preserving this really rich and sort of historical legacy of Black cowboys and cowgirls, but also to ensure that, you know, they aren't Compton's last Black cowboys. And I think, you know, their motto kind of says it all, you know, and frankly, it's not an exaggeration. You know, the streets raise them and their horses do continue to save them. And I think, you know, the fact that we still have to have this conversation about, you know, the ways that these horses can essentially deter police violence or gang violence in Compton, and how these horses often act as a shield, to me, is both beautiful that these horses and animals can do that, but it's also tragic, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as this conversation about police violence increases, you know, throughout our country, we're seeing that, you know, that Black folks really have to create creative ways to survive. And for this group of friends, it happens to be on horses.
How did the Compton Cowboys start?
They started in 1988 with Maisha Akbar, who started the Compton Junior Posse. And she started this organization, you know, kind of as a way to have her own children, you know, ride horses. And she found that her own children's friends were really becoming involved and starting to appreciate horse riding. And she also saw that, you know, it was sort of like a safe space, right, where like young people could go after school and on the weekends and really sort of stay away from the danger and violence that was going on in Compton during the early 90s. And so that kind of, you know, lasted for almost 30 years. And, you know, almost every single member of the Compton Cowboys today are essentially those children who she helped raise. And, you know, they're second generation riders.
In terms of being part of a Compton Cowboy, is there a code of ethics? Are there rules of the club that you have to adhere to?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think every Compton Cowboy has to both volunteer their time with their youth program and also in the community, but they also have to, you know, help at the ranch and clean the stalls and really sort of have a presence in the ranch and in the community. And I think, you know, they've been doing that for the past 2 years, and it seems like it's a model that, you know, according to the Cowboys, can potentially be transplanted into other urban communities around the nation.
Now, the only female member of the Compton Cowboys that you profile is a single mom, and her name's Kira. How is her relationship to the ranch as a Black cowgirl different than that of the men?
Totally. So Kira Wade is the only woman in the group. And, you know, she's a second-generation writer. You know, her family migrated from Louisiana to Compton in the early 40s and sort of set up shop in Compton. You know, she's someone who really rides for the experiences of other Black cowgirls. I think, you know, she's someone who has really sort of stepped into to this really sort of beautiful and powerful role where, you know, she's really invested in creating more opportunities for other Black women who also ride, you know. And so she does that, you know, through a really sort of like heavy social media presence, and she's been sort of at the forefront of that.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. How has social media, what has been the impact of social media on Compton Cowboys? And as you've observed other riding groups, like the one in Houston that showed up and the one in Oakland that showed up.
Right. Yeah, totally. So I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Breonna Noble sort of first rode her horse at one of the demonstrations in Oakland, you know, I think it was a sort of like watershed moment. You know, it kind of showed, you know, about the power of social media and how sort of easily connected everyone is. And, you know, a couple of days after that, you know, a group of 30 men, black men, rode their horses in Houston, you know, to sort of demonstrate. And then, you know, a few days after that, you know, the Confident Cowboys sort of established a peace ride. I think social media, you know, has really sort of allowed more black cowboys and cowgirls to stay connected around the country, you know, in ways where sort of black cowboy communities were maybe siloed. I think today there's like a fostering of a really sort of like, you know, network of black cowboys and cowgirls who obviously use Instagram, you know, to really stay connected.
My guest is Walter Thompson Hernandez. The name of his book is The Compton Cowboys, The New Generation of Cowboys in America's Urban Heartland. How does traveling on horseback as a black man or woman in Compton change interactions with police?
Right. So in writing this book, you know, in researching for almost a year and a half that I spent with the Cowboys, like the sort of interactions between walking on the street or driving and being on horseback, we're almost night and day. You know, if one of the cowboys decides to walk or to drive to the store or anywhere, and this happened several times, you know, the police will probably question them or stop them or in some ways harass them. But on their horse, it seems like an entirely different experience. You know, like they are sort of like free from that. Like I mentioned earlier, the horse has sort of become a shield. And, you know, it's a really sort of experience that like allows for this almost like ephemeral feeling of freedom, you know, for the next 30 minutes or for the next hour, like each one of these cowboys are essentially, you know, transported to a different place, right? To a place free of, you know, the anxiety and worries of, you know, quotidian life. And I think, you know, what I witnessed was really special, and I hope it comes out in the book.
Since, you know, we're deep into this national reckoning and this moment of deep reflection about systemic racism in our country, what do you think this, how do you hope this book contributes to the conversation? And what do you think thinking about black cowboys can contribute to the conversation?
Absolutely. You know, I think what I hope this book does and achieves is really sort of allows us to both think about, you know, the many sort of labels and limitations that we put on black lives, right? And I say that like both in the context of this larger cowboy culture, you know, which has historically been white, and also the ways that, you know, a city, a really beautiful city like Compton sort of, you know, can sort of shed its stigma around the world. You know, I think it's really unfortunate that when most people think about Compton around the world, they think about gangs and violence and sort of death and trauma. And I hope this book kind of sheds a different light. You know, I hope it really sort of paints a picture that is like both beautiful and complex and tragic and hopeful, and paints these characters as you know, as complicated, layered people, just like anyone else.
That was my conversation with New York Times reporter Walter Thompson Hernandez about his book, The Compton Cowboys, The New Generation of Cowboys in America's Urban Heartland.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.